Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we are
your best friends.
Best friends.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm good. I have power, unlike the people on the next block.
Oh, gosh. We lost power on our street. We live on a block that's 2.5 miles around. It's a triangle, actually. And every storm, we're the last house to get electricity restored. Mm-hmm. So we have a generator, you know. But I was not going to live without Wi-Fi because this storm took out Wi-Fi and cable. And I was like, oh, well, I'm going to the Cape. Oh, dear old dad who bought this house in the 70s. Thanks, Dad.
Yeah.
Because I have a place to go where I don't have to drive, you know, 20 miles to check my email.
Yeah. I just feel so bad. I took the dog for a walk this morning and literally the next block, a few hundred feet away, I hear generators going, and I was like, how is that possible? I got my power back on Wednesday.
I know, and you live in a city.
So. I live in a city, so I feel bad for them. It's coming up on a week. 3 more days, and it'll be a solid
week. Yep. Well, anyway, I'm glad you have power, and I'm glad I'm here on beautiful Cape Cod, where it's a spectacular day.
Mm-hmm.
I took Luther for a bike ride. He likes to canter along next to me. and we took a little ride in the car to go to the hardware store. Really exciting stuff. So
yeah, that's good stuff.
So we have two letters today, Joss. I don't know that they have a theme, but they're both kind of short and we thought we could tackle them both. So allow me to read the first one.
Sure.
Good morning, ladies. I wanted to write and say thank you for your podcast. Oh, you're welcome.
Love that.
I found you in May or April when Kristen posted it on Instagram, and I love it. During these lonely spring months, listening to you both has been almost as good as having an in-person girls' night, even if the conversations were a bit one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
You ladies have helped me feel less alone while also helping me learn about how I am as a friend and how I can be a better friend. You reinforced that I deserve to surround myself with amazing friends. Thank you for helping me feel less alone. Oh, that's so lovely.
That's really sweet.
You're welcome. She says, I am married, but at the same time that COVID hit here in Pennsylvania, my husband got sick. We now know that it was the worst sinus infection from hell, but he was out of it for several months. Fortunately, he is feeling better now and will have surgery next month to hopefully prevent any future issues.
Wow.
I am 31, and my heart yearns for a best friend. The friendship that you ladies have together is special, and it sounds like you have good friendships with other ladies, and that gives me hope. I've never had that close and intimate best friend relationship before. My husband is great, but he doesn't cry with me when I learn that my body has stopped ovulating. He doesn't understand the huge crush of disappointment when another pee test tells me that, nope, your body still doesn't want to ovulate.
Mm-hmm.
Great way to start the morning, huh?
Yeah.
I have 2 months of LH tests to go through before the doctor will take me to the next phase of this journey. My journey has just started. Not sure what the journey is yet, but it's looking like we are heading down the infertility path. And I just feel so alone.
Mm.
While I have a great group of friends from work, we are teachers, I don't feel close enough to share this with them. I'm not close with my sister, and I can't share with my mom because she will be even more upset than I am, and she will tell everyone.
Mm.
And also, in a terrible way, it's embarrassing. Why isn't my body doing what it's supposed to do? I feel like I have failed. This email was planned as a thank you, but has turned into more of a confessional. If you've read this, thank you for being the best friend that I could wish I could call for and cry to on this dreary Saturday morning in southern Pennsylvania. Signed, heartbroken and lonely.
Oh, that's so heartbreaking.
That hits me especially in the heartbroken because I too struggled with pregnancy, infertility, staying pregnant. I feel you, I hear you, and I know exactly what you're talking about when you say it's embarrassing that my body isn't working the way it's supposed to. You know, you feel like this is what my body has been evolving for, you know, is to bear children. That's our biological imperative. And here you are married and happy and stable, and you can't get pregnant. And so I know exactly how you feel, and so do millions of women.
Mm-hmm,
millions
mm-hmm.
of women.
Yes.
And it's a special heartache when, you know, when infertility is your problem. It's just, it is that, why do these teenagers get pregnant when I can't? Why, you know, why is my sister working on her fourth baby when she's 28 and not married and doesn't have a job, you know, or whatever? You see it everywhere, and everything seems so personal.
Yeah.
So here's my advice for you. You said you have a great group of friends at school, and yet you're not quite there yet. I have a couple things to suggest. I suggest maybe telling somebody.
Yeah.
At work, because mm-hmm. very often it's a problem that gets you that best friend.
Yeah.
You know, it's admitting that you are having a really rough time because of potential infertility, and you want a baby very much. And, you know, I imagine those ladies would cluster around you and you and say, oh, me too, or my sister, my friend, my mother. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things where you feel this like secret shame, but it's so common.
It really is. And I have to say, oftentimes, just because of the way your hormones are fluctuating or whatever medicine the doctor is giving you, you're not able to hide your reactions. So I had a colleague at work who was dealing with a similar situation and going through IVF. And she's normally very much a Vulcan, very stoic, very by the book. And one day I walked into the kitchen and caught her sobbing. Yeah. And then I found out. And of course, we all rallied around her. And she was able finally to get pregnant. But, you know, all of the other moms in my office gave her clothes. They gave her advice. They all rallied around her. So I agree with Kristen. You really should think about telling someone.
And, you know, if you say that they're wonderful, I mean, first of all, you're all teachers. So you're already great people, mm-hmm. you know. You devote your life to educating children who are not yours. And especially in the time of COVID, you know, you have so much to do, and you know, I know it's been said a million times and sounds so trite, but you are heroic.
Yeah.
If you're going back to school, if you're teaching these kids, you know, teachers are fantastic people. There's not a lot of selfish idiots who say, like, oh, I want to be a teacher, you know?
Right.
Don't do it for the money, you know? So I would think that that you already have this group in place. And maybe there's somebody who seems like particularly someone you jive with, somebody who clicks with you. Pick her, you know? Or just offer it up when you're talking, just saying, like, I'm sorry if I'm not on my game. I have some fertility things going on.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you there will be people who reach out and say, oh shit, I'm so sorry. Me too.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, Joss and I, we were friends, for a while before we sort of jumped the fence into like that best friend, I can tell you anything thing. And it was through a different kind of trouble, but it was that confiding in someone of something you're embarrassed about, mm-hmm. where you think, like, I must be a bad person because this happened to me. And then you admit that to someone else, like, I had this thing happen and I just don't know what to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's, I think, where great friends are made.
Absolutely. That's what changes your relationship from, you know, just sort of getting together for drinks to something deeper and perhaps something that would last a lot longer. I would also stop. I'm sorry to sound like a broken record, but you sound like you're going through a lot with your husband being ill, and COVID makes everything really, really hard. I don't know why you're not close with your sister, but perhaps some therapy would be helpful for you right about now. Help you process whatever's going on with you and your sister. general COVID anxiety, which everyone is dealing with. Even Michelle Obama recently admitted that she's suffering from some depression.
Yeah.
COVID. And just, you know, having to take care of your husband who was sick for so long and now has to have surgery. Minor, I guess, but still, it's a lot.
And, you know, I mean, everyone is dealing with a lot these days. And then you add on to these things, you know, so our hearts are with you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as someone who's had to do those tests and has, you know, prayed every month that this will be the month that a baby will start and take and stay, you know, you're not alone. And there, as I said, there's so many women who know exactly how you feel and who would love to wrap their arms around you figuratively, you know, a support group online, the group of teachers that you have already. Yeah. And a therapist, you know, is so great because his or her job is to listen. It's not a friendship.
Right.
And their job is to help you handle life's biggest difficulties. So
yeah,
you know, look into that. And you know, you like this podcast, that's great. There's a million podcasts out there. And I know that there's a podcast called Terrible Thanks for Asking,
which that's a good one.
I love that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Nora McInerney, and
she
talks to people about the worst times in their life. And they actually, I believe they had a spinoff show about people with pregnancy issues.
Yeah.
And so I don't want you to feel alone and freakish and, you know, a failure. Because this just happens to too many of us. And, you know, if you, someday you'll be a mom, if that is your deepest desire, whether it's a biological baby or an IVF baby, well, that's a biological baby too, but you know, whether you get pregnant just 1 month or it happens in a doctor's office after, you know, 10 months, or you adopt or you foster, mm-hmm. you know, you'll look back at this and this will be your war story. You'll be mm-hmm. proud of how you went through this and that you really fought to become a mother.
Yeah.
And I think that you'll be a better mother because it didn't come so easily.
So yeah.
I'm sending you a big, big hug. And so is Josh.
Yeah, I am for sure. I just wanted to add quickly that if you're at a loss of where to begin with looking for help, definitely talk to your OB. Mm-hmm. He or she has heard it all and knows exactly what direction to point you into. There might even be like a support group that your OB knows about that you could go to. So definitely your next appointment, talk to your OB about this.
Yeah, that's a great point. And please write back and update us on how you're doing.
For sure.
Our next letter, Joss, we're doing two. I'm going to read this one.
Yes.
Nothing in common with our first letter.
Nothing in common whatsoever. I'm calling this one Lost Virginity. It's actually really sad. We could call it deflowering if you want.
They're both the same.
Dear ladies, you asked for worst friend stories, so here goes. When I was a sophomore in high school, I ran with a couple of girls who were a little more experienced than I was when it came to matters of dealing with the opposite sex. They knew I had an intense crush on an older guy I worked with at the local burger joint. He seemed to like me too, but I was too young for him, too young in general, but hindsight. Anyway, my friends took great glee in trying to corrupt me, and I wanted to be cool like them, so I went along with a lot of it. They did all they could to encourage my relationship with Burger Boy, even telling me to, quote, do whatever it takes to hold on to him. So I did. That's not the crappy friend part. It should be. That decision was totally on me. You were a sophomore. All right, I'm sorry. I immediately knew I had made a huge mistake and decided I wasn't interested in a repeat performance. I even told Burger Boy as much. He took it surprisingly well. I know now that I wasn't the only girl he had on a string. Besides, he'd gotten what he wanted. My friend thought I was an idiot to risk losing such a cute guy. They thought I was being a baby. I was hurt and confused, but stuck to my guns. About a week later, I went out of town with my parents. When I came back to work the following week, I found Burger Boy was sleeping with one of the friends. We'll call her Sissy. And that she and the other friend, Deanne, had stopped speaking to me. So there I was, 15, deflowered, friendless, and unloved. Obviously, we have all moved on, me for better things, though I hear Sissy and Deanne have encountered some karma in their lives. But I never forget the lesson my worst friends taught me. If someone is pushing you to do something you don't want to do, they're not your friend. I find this still applies, even if I'm well past adolescence. I stick to doing what's right for me, and when a friend asks me for advice, I do my best to give what I hope is thoughtful and reasoned input, but do my best not to push them into uncomfortable situations. I also thank God I'm not a teenager anymore. Signed, being 50 beats 15 any day. Wow, your friends were horrible.
What horrible friends you have.
Oh my
They're
God.
They're not crappy. They're yeah. evil.
They were evil, horrible friends.
Horrible people.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, you slept with Burger Boy and you immediately knew I'm not ready. This is not right. I don't want to mm-hmm. do it again. Good for you.
Yeah.
I mean, you say that they thought you were being a baby. You were being absolutely mature and intelligent.
Right.
And, you know, their behavior, just horrible. I don't know what happens in some of these mean girl circles. I knew like one or two mean girls, but they, you know, the power that they have at that vulnerable age is ridiculous. And you got out of it having slept with one guy you didn't really want to sleep with. Good for you. What a lesson well learned. And thank God they weren't speaking to you anymore and you didn't have to deal with any more of those toxic messages.
I couldn't agree more. I do want to point out, though, that the decision to sleep with that guy, you say, being 50, was totally on you. And I'm gonna push back on that a little bit. You were 15. They were really pressuring you to have sex with this guy. I mean, maybe it was your decision, but I mean, left to your own devices, you probably wouldn't have done that. Yeah. So I do think a lot of peer pressure came into play here, really bad, toxic peer pressure.
Yeah.
And so I would put a little blame on them also for doing this to you, because you say earlier in your letter, they took great glee in trying to corrupt me. So they were trying to hurt you, right?
This was a game for them, and you were their mom, and you were their entertainment. Can we get her to sleep with somebody?
Yeah.
And then they're sleeping with him next week. I mean, that's just ew all around. And that guy is a scumbag, man whore.
He is.
But he was a teenage boy, you know. I mean, these people are out there. It just sounds like you did such a good job of learning in that moment and never having it happen again. And I'm so glad karma has visited both you and these girls.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Good for you, boy.
Oof. Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. And you know, I think the message that you gave is so profound, that when a friend says, like, come on, do it, it's fun, and you say, no, I don't want to, and they keep at it, they're not your friend.
Absolutely.
100%. It's not that they're trying to get you to have an experience that you would really love and would enrich you. It's that they want to control you.
Well, and they want to watch a car wreck. They want to stand by and see something, you know, explode, right?
Right.
Which,
and and if you're a teenager and someone is saying, do drugs or have sex or, you know, skip school, whatever it is, and it goes against your grain, just don't do it.
Yeah. Right?
It's better to learn early what a true friend is. And it sounds like you really did. So good for you.
We're really proud of you.
Yes. And you were only 15 when you knew all these things. So you must be rocking and rolling in your 50s. Joss.
Yes, dear. Yes.
Joss, I know you have an embarrassing personal problem to share.
All right. Fine. Allow me to set the scene. So for all of you who don't know, when you turn 50, the fun thing you get to do is have a colonoscopy. Woohoo! Yay! Right. So I had to have a colonoscopy, and I thought, let's just get this over with. So I took the first available appointment.
I just want to say,
yeah,
that, you know, as we are best friends, you told me and I told you all the truth and you nothing did. But the truth.
You did tell me. And yes, that's true.
This is a podcast about friendship.
Yes.
If you can't discuss colonoscopy prep, what kind of friend are you?
My God. And, you know, I was looking for information about it. And, you know, as I said, the first available appointment, went to the pharmacy. You have to prep for a colonoscopy, mm-hmm. listeners. You must clean out your entire insides.
Stomach, all the way down. Yeah. That's soup like 36 feet of intestine. Yes. Yeah.
You've got to be clean. And so they give you this liquid to drink. It's called Go Lightly. There are others that you can drink, but this is what my doctor gave me. And I went and picked it up at the pharmacy. And I said, all right, the instructions were to drink some in an hour period, drink half of it. And then earlier in the morning, drink the rest. I pick up the bottle. It's 4 liters. If you don't know what that is, it's about 130 ounces. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. So, and there's a powder at the bottom. And so I go home, and at the appointed time in the evening, I think it was like 8, I was watching Indian Matchmaker. I needed to distract myself.
We got to talk about that.
Right? We do. Oh, my God. And, of course, you had to fast that first day, so that last day. So it was a Friday. I hadn't eaten a thing since Thursday, 8 p.m. Pick up the drink for Friday to drink. Drink it at 8 p.m. on Friday. Pour in the water. Shake it up. They advise that you mix it with Crystal Light to make it taste better. I'm making the quote sign there.
Yeah.
And of course, you can't have anything orange, purple, or red for whatever reason. You're not allowed. So you can't mix it with the fruit juice Crystal Light. You have to mix it with the lemonade one. And I would advise listeners, and you can have Gatorade or mix it with some sort of powder. If you're going to mix it with something that you don't like, because if you mix it with something that you do like, you will never like it again.
You'll never like it again.
You'll never like it
to you. Yeah.
So I drank down the first 64 ounces. It's actually 66 ounces in the space of an hour. So I set my phone and set an alarm for every 15 minutes to drink 16 ounces or more. And by the end of the hour, I felt as though I was going to explode. Yeah. I've never been so full in my life. And then 15 minutes later, I was no longer full. Yeah. It just came right out.
Yes.
Right. And I was not happy, but fine.
I did give good friend advice. I said, take your tablet into the bathroom and your phone. You're going to be in there all night.
It's true. I was in there. I will say I was in there for about 25 minutes. I did have my phone, so I was reading a book on my phone while it was happening. But it was a long time because when I got up, I was very stiff. I was very hunched over from sitting on this boat. So, all right. So the next morning, I had to get up at 7 and drink another 66 ounces. And so I got up and I poured a glass and I drank it down and I nearly threw it up. And I was like, there's no friggin' way I'm going to be able to do the rest. However, it was fine because what came out of me was as clear as what went into me. Okay? Totally clear. It was just, and that's what they want for the colonoscopy. So I go, and the rest of the colonoscopy is magical. They give you something to make you sleep. You don't feel a thing.
It's just, I really enjoyed mine.
You get a nice snooze. It's really nice. The nurses are really lovely. My doctor was quite lovely. Everyone's nice. And so I remember very specifically having a dream while I was under about Keanu Reeves. Mm-hmm. And dream was that Keanu Reeves brought me champagne and a lovely olive tapenade, which is very specific, but that's the dream. So then I do remember the nurses waking me up. And when I woke up, I was like, Keanu? And they started laughing. Oh my God.
Where's Keanu? The champagne.
Where are you? and
he
so
was just here.
And so You know, if you can have a colonoscopy and wake up dreaming of Keanu bringing you lovely things, it's not all that bad.
It's not that bad. And the fact that you woke up calling his name.
I was calling out for him, Keanu, after a colonoscopy. I don't know if
that's an embarrassing personal problem or just like a proud moment.
I don't know. But I will say to listeners who are approaching the time where they have to get a colonoscopy, the prep is worse than the procedure. So the days prepping before you go in to get it is the worst part of it. The procedure itself is super easy. I'm told there are other methods to clean you out. So ask your doctor about those. You don't have to drink the gross drink and feel like you're about to explode. I'm not sure what it says that I was dreaming of Keanu at the time I was having a colonoscopy. I'm not sure what that means. But I'm sure it's a compliment to him.
It's a good thing, I think. Whatever it was, a Keanu dream is not to be dismissed.
Oh, God.
How was his hair in the dream? That's what I want to know.
He was gorgeous in the dream.
Was it like John Wick hair?
He had his John Wick hair and he had John Wick beard. Mm-hmm. And he also had a towel over his arm while he was handing me the thing of olive tapenade.
Oh my God.
I mean, it was very nicely done.
He brought it.
He really put everything into it there to make me feel good. And the champagne, can't forget that. It was wonderful.
Was there bread involved?
You know what? I think no, because I remember when I was still groggy, waking up thinking, why didn't he bring bread? So I think no, there was no bread.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know what? That just leaves room for another dream. He shows up with a warm loaf of French bread.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends.
Forever.